Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch Grass-Fed Beef, available on the internet at hearstranch.com.
To After the Jump on heritageradionetwork.com. We are coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You can listen to us every Monday at noon on heritageradionetwork.com or download the podcast on iTunes. Today, I'm incredibly excited to be talking to Tina Shoulders. Tina grew up in the Bronx and has designed textiles for companies as diverse as Martha Stewart, Brooks Brothers, Kenneth Cole, Tommy Hilfiger, CK, I think, right?
CK Jeans.
CK Jeans. And you were also the founder of Laid Back Home, which is a home textiles company that started in 2006. And I feel like, yes. I think that's when I first got to know you. And I remember you distinctly, your work being on MTV's The Real World.
Yes. The Real World Brooklyn.
That was my first big exposure to Laid Back Home. But I'm really excited to talk to you today because we're talking about something that I don't think everybody really talks about a lot, which is diversity in design. And I want to talk about this because I've always felt a little guilty, and we've talked about this before, as I feel like I'm a big part of the problem, but I feel like I hope that I could be a little part of the solution as well. So today we're going to be talking about diversity. We're also going to be talking about this amazing ebook you wrote called 28 Days of Diversity. And so we're going to dive into everything, but I just want to say thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I was initially inspired to do this, to talk with you and to have sort of a series where we talked about issues or sort of the lack of diversity in design because of 28 Days of Diversity, which is an ebook that you wrote. Could you tell us a little bit about how that project started and what inspired it?
It started from a tech blogger named Wayne Sutton, I believe, who had done 28 Days of Diversity in Technology, because that's another field where you don't see the diversity of the programmers, the designers, and such. And I was following his blog, and I was like, oh, we need to do that for design, because nobody really sees how many designers of color, and it wasn't just African Americans, but just color in general. And so every day I had a big network of friends that were designers, and then friends of friends. And these weren't just, you know, neighborhood craft, you know, simply craft designers. These were people that were producing goods that were sold in stores, that were sold overseas, that were doing really beautiful design that we didn't see on mainstream blogs or even mainstream magazines. So, you know, every day I decided to just talk about one of them, highlight one of them.
And what was the response like to that project?
It was interesting because I was doing it on my Laid Back Home blog, and like nobody said anything. It was like I never realized anything or that people were even reading it until about halfway through, because people were sending tweets and emails that I had finally gotten up to looking at, especially the emails, and people were excited. And it made me say, okay, well, people never heard of some of these designers. And then bigger people in the industry like HGTV and different design shelter publications started asking, oh, where'd you find these designers? Invited me different places. And then it ultimately led to me having a conversation during New York Design Week of that same year to actually have an open panel discussion.
Tell me about the panel.
It was exciting. It was really different. It was during Design Week. So I was like, I was going crazy because it's super competitive, like just putting anything on during Design Week. I did it on that Monday, which is when a lot of people are having different events. And you're talking about MoMA. And I started tweeting about it. But I guess because there was traction from me doing the posts every day. And then HGTV, their producers and their casting people had wanted to meet me. So I went up to go meet them and we talked, and they were really great. And they were just like, okay, so what do you want to do? How'd you put this together? Where did you find these people? I'm like, it's not like they were under a rock or anything. It's just like, you know, if you want to see different perspectives, you kind of look different places. And I was talking about the different blogs and different conversations and reaching out. And so once I spoke to them, I said, well, one of the things I'd like to do is during Design Week, host a panel of sorts so that everybody can meet everybody. And so Shayla Bridges, who is the one person that we always see, you know, if you're going to see somebody of color represented as an interior designer or even product designer now, you see her. And so she came and spoke on the panel. Melinda from Get Together, she spoke. And then the HGTV producer, I don't know why, Lindsay, she actually spoke on there. And we had a great turnout. And it was a mixed turnout. It was a diverse turnout, I should say. And people were buzzing about it beforehand, because while people were walking the design shows and walking, what is that in May? What's the big?
ICFF.
Yeah. People were like, who is this Tina Shoulders? What is this? And friends of mine were telling me, and people were tweeting different things about it. Like when I looked at the hashtag and everybody's like, who is this? And what is she talking about?
How does she find all these people of color?
Yeah. And then even Roderick Shade, who's a really big interior designer, people were saying that he was asking around, who is she? And she's starting this conversation. We've been through this. You know, a lot hasn't been said about it, but he thought it was interesting or audacious, I guess, that I was bringing it up. And a lot of people, there were people that were from like Architectural Digest, just different people that were like, okay, who is this? And what's she going to talk about? So I think that kind of spread buzz, because when people put their cards in, because I even had different designers who gave stuff away, and I had Fela tickets. And so everybody was like, you know, leaving their business cards. So there were people from all different types of shelter publications and just different backgrounds that were there at the panel.
I think that's great. I mean, I think it's both funny and embarrassing and humbling to hear that everyone asked you the same question that I believe I asked you as well, which was, how do you find all these people? Which must in hindsight seem so insulting. And I feel like a lot of this conversation is going to be me feeling very embarrassed about my own ignorance. But I think part of starting this discussion is about getting past that feeling of embarrassment of not having discussed this more fully and really just getting into it. And I'm glad they were interested. Did you find that those designers or that community in general, I mean, I know that you dealt with 28 designers in particular in the ebook. Did they feel like they were getting more attention or more love in general from print and online after that?
I mean, a lot of them that actually came out, because I made sure they had invitations, like they were able to speak to people at HGTV. Like they got in the door. People were sending me emails. Oh, could you introduce me to this person? And I did know a lot of people that were writers, even if they weren't covering my stuff because it didn't fit under the genre, you know, the categories, just by relationship. Because even you, I'm not necessarily part of of what it is that you cover, but you've included me in a roundup when I was in Brooklyn Design. And I tell a lot of my friends it's by relationship at times, you know, getting to know people. So I did a lot of introductions for people, and people really got to get good conversations going. Even to this day, people are like, oh yeah, I did wind up meeting this person. There were different publications represented in the room. So that really opened the door for people to really talk. People getting interviews at HGTV that wanted to actually speak in front of the camera. And it was funny because the casting person that had met me at one point, she was like, do you think about doing any design, you know, being in front of the camera? I'm like, no, that never crossed my mind.
I mean, I think that would be important, though. I mean, were there any people there who followed up on being more publicized that way?
I think there were more people, but even the conversation, like we had a lot of questions, and there were also questions that left it in a lot of designers that aren't regularly represented in their hands to say, look, it's time for us to take responsibility, network a lot more, which at times, you know, we go to a lot of events and we don't really see, you know, I'm sure you've been to a ton of design events and you don't see that many people of color. And sometimes it's because it is like, okay, I'm going to go here and there's not going to be that many people that I know or that are of color. Fortunately, you know, I've been able to meet a lot of people that weren't, you know, to go places and make friends. And it wasn't like a color thing per se. But I always notice the lack of it in the room.
Well, I think visibility is one of the big issues that we'll probably touch on, and we'll touch on endlessly until it's less of an issue these days. But I think one of the big problems you run into is how few people of color you see either sort of running higher profile blogs or running higher profile magazines or having their own shows on television. And what do you think is sort of the primary problem behind that. I mean, I always feel like as a blogger, one of the problems I run into is that like people just form cliques that for me, I don't think have anything to do necessarily with race or regionality or any of that, but just sort of who you click with. But it tends to all be white girls. And right. I don't know where they are and I don't really know how to solve that.
I mean, I think like it's not always like it's not necessarily something for you to solve. Because a lot of times just growing up, just in our neighborhoods, where we go to school, it's innate for us to find people that we're similar to mm-hmm. or have common backgrounds with, and we hang with them. And then as we're growing up and we get into different fields, like there is a lack of diversity on TV. But if I want to see a show, like I love that show Girls, and there was this big, you know, hoopla about why isn't there a black girl, but then it might look contrived. Mm-hmm. Would the girl have a black girl that was her friend? Let's keep it real, you know, just like her neighborhood, who she's hanging out with. Just like if I put a show together, I grew up in the Bronx. The majority of my friends at that time, even though there are, you know, white people that live in the Bronx and Asians that live in the Bronx and Hispanics, of course, that live in the Bronx, my cast would probably be more representative of blacks and Hispanics because, for one, that's who I hang out with and that's who I know. Mm-hmm. And so I think the only difference, you know, as far as bloggers and such or anything that's on the internet is that that can't really be too big of an excuse anymore because the internet democratizes everything. It may be hard, like there's power in like major networks and there's advertising and there's money and such in major networks, and the power generally has, you know, a white face. So trying to network and communicate and hang out and get to know those people and break in and say, hey, I want you to read my script is going to be a lot harder than it is online. Like there's no barrier to entry online. So to me, it's just like plug away. If you want to see something created and you can't get it on TV, or you want to see a book written and you can't get it published, just do it. Mm-hmm. Like right now, we don't really have that big of an excuse when we want to create something. Because, you know, you go to friends, hey, can you photograph this? And then as time progresses, you know, you get a better photographer or videographer or whatever it is. But, you know, now we can get started.
What do you think the best way, I think, for designers of color to sort of start networking and talking to each other in terms of helping raise visibility for a group? What do you think the best way to go about that is? I've thought about, like, to me, there seems like a shocking lack of sort of meetup groups or support groups is the wrong word, but like a group of people who get together to raise consciousness for designers of color. There seem to be endless meetup groups for like random design people, but I haven't seen a lot of them based on where you're located, your ethnicity, your age, any of those things that would sort of separate you from a group. I don't see a lot of those groups.
See, I think that would be like, I see it like there is a, like in the tech industry, there's definitely you know, one for Blacks in Tech. It's called Blacks in Tech, and then there are meetups for that. And I guess the same thing could be created for design, but, and I think it's necessary to some extent, but like there are so many great meetups that just on a whole, like in design in general, like I think we can have conversations or meetups offline and say, hey, let's produce this together. How can we get together and work on our press kits or work on our sites so that they look good enough so when I pitch XYZ that they're going to recognize me or they're going to like what I'm doing, just to make sure that it's, you know, done correctly. But in general, if there's a meetup that's for design, like you're hosting a meetup or Maxwell's hosting mm-hmm. a meetup, I think in general, those have great groundwork. So we need to just go to the meetups that are design meetups that are done really well.
Yeah.
And the more people you go, like Maxwell has always been supportive. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in a few years, but if I popped up and I saw him and I had something new, he would be receptive. I've done work with him. I've showed him stuff and you've always been receptive. And there are a lot of bloggers that know me. And if I come up with something new, would actually look. And a lot of that is from meeting them. Mm-hmm. Like I've met you, we've had lunch before, you've come to my classes before, you know, we keep an open dialogue.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. And I don't really think that's that big of a color issue because now it revolves more on design. It's like that's our common ground. And so we can talk design. So I think more than just, I think there could be a support group of such of, okay, how can we, you know, bust into this design mm-hmm. as a collective and let our voices and our perspectives be shown. But in general, I think we have to spend more time going to meetups that are well established than just meeting with people. Because I've met PR people from huge places that have just sent me their lists, email lists, phone numbers, telling me who's going to be pitching this or looking for this kind of stuff that I just met at regular meetups mm-hmm. that didn't know me from anything. We had a cool conversation, some cheese together. And, you know, that was enough. And they looked nothing like me, but they liked what I was doing, and the conversation was good. And a lot of times, it's just about getting to know people.
That those sorts of relationships are what make things happen. We're going to talk. We're going to take a quick break, and then okay. we're going to talk more about that after a jump.
Cool.
Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Welcome back to After the Jump. I'm Grace Bonney, and you're listening to us live from Roberta's on heritageradionetwork.com. Today, I'm speaking with designer Tina Shoulders, and we're talking about diversity in design, or the lack of diversity in design. And before the break, we were talking about the importance of making personal relationships and how that really affects sort of exposure levels across all different types of media platforms. And one of the things I'm curious to know is how people who put together events can make designers of color feel more comfortable attending them. Because before we started recording, we were talking about some of the design conferences that exist for design bloggers and producers, and they really too tend to be all really adorable blonde white girls from the West Coast.
Right.
And I was with a friend at the Alt Summit, which is a very popular one, who was Asian American, and she said, I can't believe I'm the only Asian person here.
Wow.
And she really was probably one of maybe two or three Asian
girls. Were there any black people?
That were there. I think there were maybe a handful of everyone, including like LGBT designers. It was mm-hmm. maybe at least of those people who were outwardly identified as such, maybe like less than 10 is what it felt like.
Okay.
Which is a big deal, considering there's no possible way the community is that small. How would a group like that, or any group that has a meetup, encourage more people of color to feel comfortable and to come?
Especially conferences, I think it's almost whoever organizes the conference, they can do whatever they want, but I think it's almost their responsibility to make it as diverse as possible, not simply just as far as color goes, but just the conversation. And there's richness in the conversation when you have people from varying backgrounds. Like, I believe they do themselves a disservice. If I look at, for one, I've pitched Alt Summit in general, and part of it was to, one of my pitches were talking about diversity in design, or just showing the diversity in design. And it wasn't simply, you know, black and white or something like that, but there's such a richness in knowing about people's different backgrounds, knowing their contribution, what has caused them to create as a result of how they grew up and where they grew up. And I think they really shoot their own selves in the foot by not talking about, not trying to openly identify, not trying to write about, you know, even bloggers as well. Like, it just makes your content more colorful so that everybody's not writing about the same exact thing and we're recycling stories. Like, I would look at your blog and I read something, and then like I read that somebody else covers it the next day and I'm like, okay, I just saw this on Grace's, you know, show it next week and find something else that's fresh, because there are a lot of really amazing designers from all different types of backgrounds, and it seems like everybody's focusing on the same look or the same style. And granted, there are great styles, there are great looks, but there are amazing styles from cross-culturally. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody who focuses on one thing winds up doing a disservice. And it's not, I don't think it's so hard as just, okay, I gotta find someone who's black or someone who's Hispanic that's doing something, because I think that makes it more of a challenge. Mm-hmm. Looking for color, but just style and diversity, because a lot of times you could see the richness of people's heritage by looking at their designs.
Exactly.
Like, well, Karen Hammocks and High Tea, you've written about her as well, but a lot of her design is birthed from growing up, from her grandmother, from the islands. And there's such beauty, you know, whether or not you're talking about Asian culture, African culture, all throughout the diaspora, you're going to see so many things that are reflective of people's, you know, their heritage and their culture and design aesthetics that are really true to that. And the only time we really see it is when it's recycled and somebody mainstream puts it out. And all of a sudden, you know, African boutiques and such are super popular because some mainstream designer decides to put it out there. And, you know, not calling anybody out, but it's like there are designers that have created this, that have hand designed, hand painted this. And why not go to the source and then show?
Exactly. I mean, I think especially, I mean, even though I'm a blogger, I'm still a consumer of blog content and other people. And I really love getting to hear the back story to something, right, rather than just the face that made it popular again, like actually knowing the traditions behind that. And I think every now and then you get a publication that does the legwork of actually figuring out where does that pattern style come from? Where does that technique come from?
Right.
But it so rarely is done, especially in blogs. And I think in most blog conferences at this point, it's a common sort of refrain of like, oh, everybody's blog looks the same. We're all talking about the same thing. And what you're proposing is a solution to both problems. And so I'm hoping it's something people will start to pay more attention to, but it's difficult if we don't have a forum to talk about these things.
This is true. I'm sure it was touchy to you. I'm sure if you went out and was like, let's talk about diversifying our blogs a little, like there's going to be a little bit of, you know, let's, that's the elephant in the room.
It is. And it's, I mean, I'll feel embarrassed, but I think it's better to get the stuff out and push past it. Is that like, especially I remember I read about this in the opening of your book, 28 Days of Diversity, when you were talking about, you know, you were surprised that more bloggers weren't at least covering like designers of color in February, which is Black History Month.
Right.
And I thought like, oh God, that's me. Like, and I remember thinking the reason I didn't do that was because I felt like it was going to come across as like tokenism and something like, oh, only once a month you do this. But instead of saying, well, this is a problem I need to solve permanently, I just kind of shrugged it off because it was uncomfortable. And that's not a good way to handle things. So I think this is something that if we start talking about, it's going to seem like less of a token issue and more of something that just needs to be a permanent change,
right,
in the way
that comes
we discuss
off
this industry
a little bit more organic, that just becomes natural. Like, they would have said something regardless.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been like, oh, now Grace is one, you know, it's Black History Month, now we could talk about them or whatever. And so it would have been said either way. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be people that are like, you know, that are shocked at the content of our conversation right now. But I think it just starts from anywhere. Let's just, you know.
Yeah, I think having a conversation of people, and it's not just about race, but it's about age, it's about sexuality, it's about people who represent sort of any outside of the mainstream point of view. And I think that's important to include, and I wish there would be a little bit more of that. And one thing I'm glad you brought up was sort of, now it's not just about like people in America, but talking about non-Western designers. I think something I've been obsessed with for a while is sort of Aboriginal culture and the way that that has informed design that just doesn't look like anything else that we see.
Right.
And you would think more people would be clamoring to find out more about that, because at least gives you something to talk about that looks different from what every other blogger talks about. But it can be difficult to research and find that. And I think that's probably why you get asked the question all the time of like, where did you find these people? And that can sound a little annoying, but in the reality, a lot of us who are regular bloggers don't know where to go to find things like that. What are some of the ways that you connect with the community of designers of color that you don't think those of us on the other end don't know about?
For one, I put out Google alerts just to see anything that might, like, I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but a lot of my Google alerts will say design and comma African-American just in case anything new pops up. I'll go
to... That's actually a really good idea.
It's, like, I mean, that it seems really simple,
but it's straightforward.
And then I did them for different cultures and did the same thing so that anything that came up, because a lot of times if it is a designer and it's something new, you are described by, it's always, you know, African-American designer or this designer from this place. Those keywords generally do come up. And so that was one of the ways. And then I just started looking. Flickr has been amazing because there are so many people sharing their artwork and sharing textiles and just doing searches on textiles. And then I look for the backstory to see where these pictures came from. And I've reached out to really amazing people. And I've reached out to a lot of people that were overseas that weren't necessarily African-American. Like, a lot of the people that I met or met online were... You know, they were white, but they were just really influenced, and their artwork showed that they were influenced, or their textiles were influenced by the culture, and they lived out there and they breathed it, and they just added so much more depth to the design. And everybody wants to talk about themselves. Like, I think not only Americans are narcissistic. Yeah, I think everybody is, like, if they're proud of the work that they're doing, like, they're open to talk about their design, talking about what they're working on. So I just look for a lot of pictures, keywords for textile design, different types of designers and such.
I think it's a great, it's a really simple idea, but it's probably a really effective one that I don't think most of us bloggers actually employ. It's a good one to start with.
And I look at a lot of, like, an Indian summer. She's based in India, and her textiles, everything that she writes about has Indian inspiration, and it's just really amazing. And then I look at links from stuff that she's talking about and different designers and different bloggers. And then I wind up seeing a lot, and, you know, like UKL and mm-hmm. AfricanL and stuff like that.
I think that's great. I mean, I think the more that all bloggers can start talking about this, that sort of increases in visibility for the next generation to feel like that's something you can do. I know you've done a lot of work with educating children in the city just sort of about what options exist in the creative community for jobs. Can you talk a little bit about what you've been doing?
Yeah, I've been working on exposure camps just because I want to make sure that in all of these fields, because I go to a lot of the college design shows and there might be one African-American, two Asians, one Indian, or something that are graduating in interiors or product design, if even that many. And I think it starts when you're at middle school. Like, I never even heard of graphic design until I was in my first year in college or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I love this. I had never heard of textile design until I was well into college mm-hmm. and then started doing it. And I want to expose kids to the different creative fields right now, whether or not it's anything that's tech-based. So if they're designing on the computer, doing animation, like I create most of my textiles online using Illustrator. A lot of kids are really creative, and like their minds are really creative. Some of them have the talent to draw. So I want them to nurture all of that right now, or even creating blogs on things that they're passionate about. So right now I just expose them to the possibilities that are out there and let them know that there are other kids that are doing it, that they can do it, you know, instead of just consuming information, to actually create content that they want to see or that they're passionate about. So that's really big to me right now, because then that helps to increase the visibility of designers of color and just a broader perspective.
Absolutely. I think having a broader range of voices and people putting their own stories out there and sort of giving them the tools to do that is such a huge, huge step in making this less of an issue.
Yeah, and us working together, creating together, because then it almost becomes a non-issue because it's all of us creating content together and sharing different stories.
Exactly. Well, we're almost out of time, so I want to ask you a few questions. Since we're recording on Heritage Radio Network, which is technically a food network.
Okay.
And there are lots of food shows here. I want to sort of know what other things you're passionate about outside of design and what you're enjoying in the city right now, whether it's restaurants or food or shopping. What are you doing in the city this summer?
I love the idea of making my own food and picnicking. Like, I love
when it's not 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, when it's not 100 degrees, and I'm a big Thai food. If I'm going out to eat, I eat Thai food, like at Kelly and Peng or Rain, any place like that. I love, love, love Thai food. I try to make it on my own, but for the most part, I just make wraps. I shop at the regular, you know, pretty much Trader Joe's for the most part to buy fruits, vegetables, all types of stuff. The fish market downtown in the city for the most part to buy lots of fish. But I like anything I can put and take with me and create like a picnic of sorts.
I like it. Well, I love talking to you, Tina. So I have a plan. You, me, Thai food, picnic in the park.
Let's
We're
going to
keep
it.
The conversation going.
Let's do it.
So, thanks so much for talking with me today. I'm definitely going to have you back. And this is a conversation that I'm really glad you were here to sort of get going. And I really appreciate all your insight and feedback on this.
Thank you so much. Thanks for starting the conversation.
Of course. Well, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks to everybody for listening.
Bye.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening.